This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia, with a podcast we're going to do on the fishing, both for the trout and the bass, that we normally find throughout the month of December. Now, we're not fishing for the brook trout in the mountain because many of the trout are still spawning throughout December, so we stay away from that. However, there is some superb trout fishing for the stock trout in the larger streams, the Jackson, the Bull Pasture, Big Stoney, those type streams, some excellent fishing in those streams. What actually is happening in these streams in December? The water is getting colder and colder and colder. The growth of the nymphs, both the stonefly, mayfly, caddis larva, the growth of these insects is very, very slow at this time of the year, which doesn't have great fish appeal. However, there are many springs that are entering these streams, both the large streams and the small streams, that have wonderful springs on them that are loaded with crest bugs and shrimp. For instance, Big Stoney, right just west of me here, 2 miles, there's some two enormous springs coming in out here. Now, what that does, where these springs enter into the mainstream, we'll say Big Stoney, you can easily spot them because there's very rich aquatic growth along the side of the stream where they are and in the stream where they flow into the stream. Now, the springs as big as these just west of Edinburgh, they will have a positive influence on the trout down as much as 100, 200 feet downstream. How far downstream they will be putting shrimp and crest bugs in there just sort of depends on the volume of the spring and the volume of the stream itself. But these trout will move in below those springs. Their metabolism is sort of boosted because the springs are warmer, and then they have that abundance of food. Crest bugs are very, very rich in protein, and they just gobble, gobble. Now, if I'm on the side of the stream, we'll say Big Stone, if I'm on the side of the stream below where the spring enters, I might fish upstream dead drift right where they first enter with a pattern like I like Ed Shank's crest bugs. Oh, and I like our shrimp. Those are excellent flies to use in there. But I'd fish them right upstream, dead drift right below the spring, using our nymph leader to help detect the strikes. But then I might turn and work on downstream, casting down and across stream to swing those flies into that water further downstream. So you've got a couple options now. Streams such as, say, Hidden Valley of the Jackson, when you're wading through there, you can pretty easily detect these springs coming in underwater. On your waders, you can detect the fact that that water, that spring water coming in there, is much warmer than this regular stream itself. So what I do on those larger streams, like say the Hidden Valley of the Jackson, as soon as I detect that on my waders, I put on one of those flies I mentioned, and I'll fish that down and across, swinging that along the stream bottom just as deeply as I can and as slowly as I can. But the springs that are coming in to the valley floor, you've really got to be on your P's and Q's to detect these coming into the stream itself. But there are a lot of big trout that feed heavily on these. Now, some of this stuff goes on out west. I ran into a situation in a tailwater stream, like the Bighorn out in the Rockies. Out there, they're going to have more shrimp than they are crest bugs. In the east, we get more crest bugs. Out in the Rockies, they get more shrimp. A friend and I were fishing one of these tailwater streams, like I say, like the Bighorn. We had a betis hatch on in the afternoon that continued almost to dark. And we were probably wading out in the river 30, 40 feet off the bank, fishing to some rising fish because the betas, although they were tapering off, there were still some fish out there coming up. So we were fishing one-on-one to these fish we saw. Well, I started hearing something feeding behind me back toward the bank. And, you know, I naturally assumed they were some trout working on the betas. Well, I moved over in that direction, and I was totally wrong. As the light got low, a lot of those big trout had moved back toward the bank, and they were feeding in water that was probably a foot and a half to 2 feet deep, and they were feeding on those shrimp back there in that low light area. So we both turned, started put shrimp on, and started fishing shrimp back along that bank, and we had fantastic fishing. But they were prompted by the availability of the food in there, plus that lower light level, plus the betas had kind of gone to sleep for the evening. So, but the shrimp and the crestbug in these streams, definitely, they're there all year. They don't hatch, they don't fly away, they don't do anything. They just sit there and feed the fish. So, but the hatch things are pretty much over this time of the year. But you can always catch some fish on those shrimp and crestbugs. All right, now, let me talk about the bass thing. I got a phone call just a couple days ago from a very good friend who is a bass fishing nut. He insists that he can catch big bass in the winter. So he starts a conversation off saying he just got back out of the river. He'd been fishing for 8 hours, and he caught one fish. So I'm oohing and aahing about admiring his diligence. And he stopped his conversation to kind of let that soak in with me. He said, however, the bass was well over 5 pounds. Now, what this guy and a couple of my friends do, they're usually floating the river when all this is happening, using canoe, john boat, drift boat, kayak, whatever you want to do. What this boy does, and what two of my friends do, they'll float from deep pool to deep pool to deep pool. What they do is when they move into the upper part of one of these deep pools, and I'm talking about the deepest thing they can find. If they can find water 8 feet deep, that's what they're headed for. They'll drop the anchor at the upper end of this deep pool. Then they put on a sinking head line. It sinks probably 8 inches per second. One I especially like is that Scientific Anchor Sonar Sink 30 in the warm. 200 grains on that, and you can fish that easily on a 7-weight bass rod. And I use my 2X fluorocarbon sinking leader with that we make. But now what this boy does, he'll drop the anchor on his boat at that upper end. He'll put this line on, and then he's probably going to fish some of our big flies. Let me look and see which ones. I'm trying to look and see if he told me. Oh, yeah, here's what he was talking about using. The Murray's Med Tom Sculpin in a 4, the Murray's Magnum Darter in a 4, and the Murray's Magnum Creek Chub in a 4. I mean, that's a big mouthful. So he's casting these across stream from where he's anchored. He's stripping that about, maybe 6 inches every 10 or 20 seconds. What he wants to do is crawl that right across the stream bottom so anybody out there can see him. He'll cover all the water he can reach from where he's anchored right there. Then he picks the anchor up. If it's a big pool, he may only drift down 100 feet and then drop that anchor again and continue doing that same technique. Casting across, let it sink down, and then just strip it real, real slowly along the stream bottom. Because the big fish are going to be in the deeper water. Now, if it's a relatively small pool and it's only 150 feet long, he'll pick the anchor up and drift on down to the next pool. He tells me he usually tries to cover about 5 miles of the river at a time in an 8-hour day. But this is a viable way to take some big fish in the river, and proof's in the pudding. He didn't send me any pictures, but he didn't tell fibs. If he said he got a 5.5-6 pound smallmouth, I believe it. So this is a game you can play in the winter. As I was saying, you're not going to catch a whole lot of bass, but you might catch the biggest bass of the year. So if you have any question on any of this, and I'll be glad to show you these places on the North Fork and the South Fork. I've got the maps here, and I can show you where all these places are. But if you have any question on this, just ring me at the fly shop here at Edinburgh, which is 540-984-4212. This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia. Thank you very much.